Welcome to the SB Live California podcast. I'm your host, Connor Morissette. I'm joined today with my coworker, Bodie De Silva, who covers high school sports for SB Live California down in San Diego, as well as across the state. Bodie, on Friday, we learned that there's updated youth sports guidance from the California Department of Public Health and Governor Gavin Newsom's office, which could see some outdoor sports that weren't already cleared begin on Friday if metrics of COVID, 14 per 100,000, are passed on Tuesday. That's really confusing, but and we'll get into all of it. But high school sports are going to come back, and it's a really exciting time. How excited are you?
Yeah, no, it still hasn't set in, and I'm sure it won't until we can finally get out to the field and see some action, because it really has been so long. We've seen it in so many other states and other states we've covered, and I'm just happy for the kids and the coaches that have had to deal with this for the last year, and finally there's some light, and hopefully getting them back out there really soon.
I agree. Today, what I want to talk about, the ban being lifted and what that means county by county, what it means for the sections who have multiple counties within their sections. And then at the end, I want to talk about that San Diego lawsuit that on the surface looks like it allows youth sports in the county to go on full speed ahead, but there's a little bit more that goes into it than that. And I think further clarification is needed, but we'll talk about that a little bit. So first, and I'll be reading here from some of the stuff we've written on scorebooklive.com/California. So we'll just start with this. According to the updated guidance, outdoor high-contact sports can be played in counties in the purple and red tiers as long as the counties have a case rate at or below 14 per 100,000. So if you've been following this, you know that 14 per 100,000 number is really, really important. None of the counties in Southern California are there yet, but in San Diego, and it's, again, it's really tricky because it's updated Tuesday, and last Tuesday was in the 20s, but it's dropped down to around 15, right, Bodie? So there's hope that come this upcoming Tuesday, they'll be at that 14 number. And what people need to understand is Tuesday is the day. You can look at the daily stuff, but is whatever it says on every Tuesday is what's going to happen. So on Tuesday, that's the big day. And people in San Diego, Bodie, are hopeful that it'll be at 14 this upcoming Tuesday and things can start on Friday, correct?
Yeah, so it's, and there's, I know, still some confusion out there. Hopefully it's been figured out a little bit more. But as of last week's update, the number was 22.2. And then when the state sent out their numbers on Friday, but they didn't make them publicly available on their website, it appears the number was 15.6. And because of that, they're projecting that come this Tuesday, the number will be below that. I know in the Imperial Valley or Imperial County, which is their team's playing the San Diego sections, well, their number was about 20. So I don't know how their number would drop throughout the week, but you would expect that their number's gone down. Whether or not they get to 14 by Tuesday, I'm hopeful they do, because I want all the teams in the section to get going. But it's definitely good news, and it looks like a lot of the counties throughout the state that haven't been cleared are well on their way to getting there as well.
Yes, LA County is in that similar area of around 20. It was either 20 or 22. So hopefully they can get down to 14, because it does make a difference. Looking at the Trinity League, you have the majority of those schools in Orange County. Of course, St. John Bosco is in LA County. So if they have to start a week later than some of those Orange County teams, that could throw a whole wrench into the scheduling and stuff. But that 14 per 100,000 is the key metric. But what exactly can happen when counties get there? So there are those sports in the purple tier, and it's, again, it's so confusing. I'm going to really try to explain it as best I can, but that was cross country, which was a season one sport in the southern section, and so that had already gotten going. And then there were other purple tier sports, such as track and field, such as golf, such as tennis, and those technically were already allowed, but they weren't in their season of sport. They were in season two. So those are okay to get going the second that season of sport starts, because they're purple tier, they're low contact outdoor sports, so those can be played. The guidance on Friday allows, if you get to the 14 per 100,000, the moderate contact outdoor sports like baseball, softball, and the high contact outdoor sports like water polo and football. And those are season one sports, not baseball, softball, the football, and water polo. So the second on that Tuesday, if you're at the 14 per 100,000 or below, those sports can get going beginning February 26th, and then every Tuesday it's updated. So if it's not this Tuesday your county gets in, it doesn't start the 26th. It would start, hopefully, that following Tuesday if you get into it. So I think what a lot of people don't understand is there's still two seasons. There's a fall, or a season one and a season two, and this guidance, none of the sports were changed. What was changed is what's allowed by the government, if that makes sense. And I know it's a really roundabout way of saying that. If you're more into reading, you can check out our website. But that's, I think, maybe not the best way to explain it, but I'm trying my best over here.
Yeah, the key thing looking at all of that was, and I was surprised, but I think it goes to kind of how the state's projecting, is once your county drops below 14 per 100,000, even if that number rises back above, that the sports do not need to stop. And I think that's really important, because maybe there is a case where 1 week you jump to 15 and instead of shutting down and likely missing the rest of the season or most of it, you can keep going. And then the other number is once you get below seven for those key sports that you no longer require the weekly testing. So I'm glad that both sides were able to come together and find a way that just allowed everyone to get back on the field. And I've had some people reach out for indoor sports, and I know there's nothing been settled there, but hopefully they can work on something as we get going and get them at least something during this school year.
Has there been any talk in your neck of the woods about some of those indoor sports maybe trying for an outdoor season? Because in the southern section, there's some time before a lot of those season two indoor sports start. But if the guidance isn't changed, it's either play outside or don't play at all. So we may see some schools in basketball or even volleyball, for example, try to play outside just as a means to have a season versus not having one at all. Has that been talked about at all in San Diego?
Yeah, at this point, I really haven't heard of it. I think I'd be a little surprised if we were to see basketball go out there. So many of the blacktops I see, not that they're unsafe, but it's just you're going to have guys turning ankles more and potentially more knee injuries. I could see an event where if you had area, you move wrestling mats outside. I think that would make some sense. But for basketball and volleyball, I think it's a little tough to move outside at this point. And I know a lot of people are playing beach volleyball, so maybe that at least gives them something where you can be outside.
I think another part of the confusion is the southern section, the San Diego section, the LA City section, the ones down here, they're sticking with the season one and the season two, whereas we've covered some of the sections up north. For example, I have the Sac Joaquin section. I wrote a post about what high school sports and the updated youth guidance means for sports in those sections. And a lot of sections north of where we are decided to allow leagues to decide what sports can be played at what time. So down here, cross country was a purple tier season one sport, and that was the only one that was allowed because it was the only one that was in the purple and in the right season of sport. Some of the sections up north decided, all right, all these purple sports can play. Let's do cross country. Let's do track and field. Let's do, you know, every purple tier sport that we can to just try to fit in as much as we can. Golf and tennis, let's play those right away. And I think when you see the Let Them Play Facebook group, it's a huge hodgepodge of parents from all over the state. So it's, you know, in my county, we're doing this. In my section, we're doing this. What's important to remember is that you need to follow section guidance, county guidance, as well as school and district guidance. So there's three things that you need to look at. Can I play this sport in this section? Is it in its right season? Okay, yes. Does the guidance allow for it? Okay, yes. Does my school district allow for it? Because remember, districts and private schools, they can be more restrictive than the guidance. So what people need to remember are that there's three tiers to pay attention to, which, again, I think that adds to why it's all a little bit confusing and tough to take at times.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with that. And I oftentimes down here, the San Diego section mirrors whatever the southern section does. So I think that provides clarity to parents who may be talking to someone they know a little north of San Diego. So yeah, as of now, I think I probably would have gotten golf and tennis going a little earlier, but not a huge deal. I mean, those are sports that obviously you still have your team and individual championships that they participate in all year, but I think that's something that they'll be playing for a while. So
Definitely. And a quick note on the LA City section, the full charter schools in that section, they're policed by their own schools and their charters, so they could start playing sports dependent on the, again, the city, or the, excuse me, the California Department of Public Health guidance and the section guidance, because they don't have to deal with the Los Angeles Unified School District, which as of right now isn't even allowing athletic conditioning. So we're not really sure at this time what high school sports are going to look like in the LA City section for those non-full charter schools, and it's a real shame. Southern section, I think that we'll see more sports be played, but LA Unified right now, they haven't announced anything. So that's an example of the county allows you to play, the Department of Public Health allows you to play. That's the same thing. And then the section allows you to play, but your local district doesn't. And I don't know if that would happen in San Diego, but that's something that we're seeing here. And it's a shame. I hope that gets changed and LAUSD athletes can play. But right now, we're totally in the dark. Every week we ask for an update and they say no update at this time. Hopefully something changes, because if LA gets into that 14 per 100,000 LA County on Tuesday, you'd love to see those athletes be able to play as well. If not, that allows for a whole mess of transfer business and everything. So that's certainly a story to watch as well. San Diego Unified isn't in that boat, right, Bodie? They're going to let sports be played when they can, correct?
Yeah, that was the one I think I would have been most concerned about, but everything I've seen, and I know a recent statement they put out was that they plan to play, so that's good news. I know in the past when there have been schools that have shut down and different things with free transfers, and I hope we don't see madness of transfers if a district or two or anyone like that decides to not play, but we'll see coming up. I think Tuesday will be the key day to hopefully get to that number and then go from there. But I know even just these past couple of days, seeing schools and districts and coaches get guidance, just of being able to start handing out gear, and the excitement of just figuring out what the protocols are and getting everyone back. So hopefully that's good news in order to get in as many games. I know football's been the main talk, obviously, and so many of those coaches led the charge for this, but so many of those other sports have been overshadowed too, and just hope everyone can get out there and play soon.
Definitely. And looking at football, there's been a lot of talk that April 17th date is the last date for football games in the Southern section, and I believe it's the last one in the San Diego section. LA City section, even though there's so many questions about whether they'll play or not, their date is April 30th, May 1st to play football. And Rob Weigod, the Southern Section Commissioner, was asked on Friday, will you move the date back for football like some other sections have done to get in more games? And he said no, because he didn't think that that would be fair to some of those Season 2 athletes. In San Diego, that's another debate, right, Bodie? Trying to push that date back. It doesn't look like the San Diego section will move from the 17th to the 30th. But if you're on social media, a lot of people are calling for that. Have you heard anything in regards to that date?
Yeah, no, there's certainly been a charge to push that back. It's tough to say if I would be for it or against it, because I understand the argument of wanting to get more games in, but I understand not wanting to punish the athletes from a second season. So if I had to guess, I would say that they keep it as is and follow what the Southern section does. But until we kind of get a plan rolled out from them, hopefully later in the week, it's tough to say. But I really think that they'll keep it as is as of right now. So
let's break down some other questions that we've been asked. So what do student athletes have to do to play? So informed consent is the first bullet point on the guidance, which just means a legal guardian has to sign a waiver to allow a student athlete to play. But some sports we're going to see require weekly testing. And that is for football, rugby, and water polo, because they're high contact sports that are likely to be played unmasked with close face-to-face contact exceeding 15 minutes. And Bodie, you talked about this earlier. That's only when the case rates are between 7 and 14 per 100,000. Once it goes below 7, that testing requirement goes away. Are you nervous at all about how schools and some of these bigger districts are going to be able to pull off weekly testing for high school athletes? I know that's a concern here. It's free, but just because it's free doesn't mean it's an easy undertaking. It's really hard to require that for a lot of athletes. And we'll see schools and districts follow the guidance, but I think this is going to be a challenge, and I think a lot of schools will be up for it, but this certainly won't be an easy thing to accomplish.
No, I think it'll definitely be a challenge, regardless of the state stepping up and then taking care of the testing costs. It's, are you going to have it done at the school? Are you going to bus your team somewhere? How is that exactly going to be done? Which I'm sure are questions that districts are still trying to figure out. I know some schools and campuses have been set up in the past as testing sites, but some of these districts, is it going to be on them to figure out how to get their kids to a location? And if your kid can't test, is he not around the team for that week or however that may be? There are a lot of questions, despite obviously the state picking up the majority of what it'll be there with the protocols and getting all the testing done. There still are some things that I think need to be answered.
Absolutely. And as time goes on, I think we'll see that. What happens if there is a positive test? The guidance mentioned it, and it asks you to click on a separate link to look into that a little bit more. So I think that's something important to look at. You can get tested, but if there's a positive, what are your protocols for that? And everyone wants to do this safely, but it's really hard to implement mass safety measures like this where everyone is uniform doing the exact same thing. And so I'm sure that, you know, people will cry, oh, you know, they didn't do X, they didn't do Y, they didn't do Z. And I can see this getting a little messy in that situation. So I hope that it doesn't come to that. But Bodie, covering Arkansas high school football like we did back in the fall, we saw teams unfortunately have to forfeit games because they had too many positive tests and close contact positives where that happened. And I, you know, people this whole time have said, I'd rather play a regular season and then do that than nothing at all. But we could be looking at that. And I know numbers are going down. There's still a realistic chance that a team does have to miss a game maybe a regional playoff game or like a state bowl game at the end, because there aren't going to be playoffs here. So that's something to think about as well. You hope that doesn't happen, but it's definitely possible because of all the mass testing that's going to be required.
Yeah, I don't know how, as you talked about, how exactly that goes. If there's one positive, does that shut down the team and coaches? If it's a coach positive, does that shut down all the players? How exactly are they going to go about that? Is it just those in the position group that might have been deemed as close contacts? Just a lot of things to figure out.
Certainly. Another question we get is about fans. The guidance says immediate household members will be allowed to attend games. But remember, schools and districts can be more restrictive than the guidance. So if they say no fans at all, then no fans at all. California Department of Public Health says immediate household members will be allowed, but check in with your schools to make sure that that will be allowed.
My quick guess on that would just be that I think a lot of districts would find ways to at least let parents in, maybe siblings, something like that. A lot like the guideline says. Beyond that, I think it's tough to expect anything more. And obviously, with us not having playoffs, that'll help, especially in those games where you'd have a lot of people at the end of the year. So I do hope that obviously parents have been such a big part, and obviously you want your kids to get out there. I hope it does mean we see some more live streams possibly and get those up there. But I would expect a lot of the districts down here, I'm thinking that it'll be a situation where they follow what the state says in terms of household contacts.
We've been asked about tournaments taking place, and the guidance is a little wishy-washy on that. I'll read it here. No tournaments or events that involve more than two teams to occur. Exceptions may be made with authorization from the local health department where the event is being held and each of the local health departments where teams originate from for sports where individual competitors for multiple teams are routine, such as track and field, cross country, all those. And then it goes on to say only one competition per team per day maximum to be played. So it sounds like it's frowned upon, but if you get an okay from your local health department, we could see some tournaments. And it doesn't list baseball here because it talks more about the individual sports where it's more likely to have tournaments, I guess, for lack of a better word, because a meet is a tournament. For me, if I'm a baseball guy, I look at that and say, okay, it doesn't mention baseball and it doesn't explicitly say no tournaments can occur if you talk to your health department and get an okay. So I think we might be able to see some baseball tournaments if health departments allow it. The first line, no tournaments or events that involve more two teams to occur. So you hear that, you think, okay, it's probably not going to happen. But then the next line, exceptions may be made with authorization from local health department. So I think we could see some baseball tournaments. And I know Brett Kay over at J. Sarah is trying to get a J. Sarah modern day style tournament, and we'll answer a question about counties. Since San Diego is a bordering county to Orange County, then your baseball teams would be allowed to come. So I think that was good news for baseball, even though you kind of got to read between the lines a little bit.
Yeah, and down here we've had the San Diego Lions tournament for so long, and obviously one of the best. And I'm not expecting it to be played. I'm not sure if it's been canceled at this point. But with that, I'd be curious if some baseball teams try and work in a case where they do double headers. I believe it's the guidelines have stated that it's one game per day, but yeah. I don't know if you're able to play the same team twice, if that makes much of a difference. I know for baseball, it's who knows at this point what the amount of games is they'll be able to get in. But so many times I've seen where teams will play a 10 a.m. and a 1 p.m. doubleheader, something like that. It'd be great if they can get in more games. And if you're playing the same team, I wouldn't see a huge problem with it. But we'll see when those sports get going.
Can teams and individuals from separate counties play each other? The guidance says teams and individuals from different counties can compete against each other with conditions. Inter-team competitions, meets, races, similar events are permitted to occur only if A, both teams are located in the same county, and B, the sport is authorized, or B, teams are located in immediately bordering counties and the sport is authorized. So for a bowl game, for example, in football, maybe you see an LA County team and an Orange County team play each other after a regular season. And maybe even in the regular season, Bodie, we know teams like San Clemente love to go down to San Diego or host teams from San Diego. Sure. So that is possible. Are you hearing that might be still on where San Clemente could play or would play those San Diego teams because it is allowed, or down there are they just going to try to focus on playing only San Diego County teams? Do you have any update there? I know it's very early.
Yeah, the earliest stuff I've heard there is teams really just trying to play as much of their league schedule.
Yeah.
And then I know there's some teams that often is as small as a three-game league schedule or as big as a six-game. So depending how many weeks they're able to get in, I would bet you play as much as your league schedule. And then if you have to fill one or two others, that it would be section teams you're familiar with. Those are probably the easiest ones, especially with different rules as you get into about busing and about having one student athlete per row, and the windows have to be down and some of the guidelines I was reading on that. So rather than make these longer bus trips, I bet that that teams would just try and do the easiest thing of trying to find someone nearby in their section to play.
Definitely. I do feel bad for the teams like here, Sierra Canyon, they only have one other team in their league. They just play Paraclete for a bid into the playoffs, so they'll have to figure some things out. And I don't really think it would make sense for Sierra Canyon to, travel down to Orange County and play someone, but LA County and Orange County do border each other, even though they're massive and it's not even close. So they do have some options available to them, and I'll have to get in touch with the head coach over there, John Ellinghouse, to see what his plans are, because you're right, league play, usually everyone is in the same county. There are a couple of exceptions, but that's easy to get done, you'd think, in a shortened season like this. But what happens if you only have one other team in your league? So that is definitely something to talk about. Let's talk about now indoor sports. What did the guidance say about anything going on indoors? And it's more of the same. Very little right now can be done inside. The indoor guidance from the California Department of Public Health did not change on Friday. They say this: physical conditioning, practice, skill building, and training that can be conducted outdoors with 6 feet of physical distancing and within stable cohorts are authorized regardless of case or sport. So outside, you got to be outside. That's what's going on there. And like I mentioned a little bit earlier, in the southern section, they're talking about playing some of these indoor sports outside if it comes to that, but a lot of them are season two and we have some more time, and hopefully there will be updated guidance, because right now those sports in that yellow tier, there need to be fewer than one case per 100,000 to play. That's not, will that even happen in 2025? You know what I mean? That's a long ways away from one per 100,000. So there's still a lot of work that needs to be done for indoor sports, which is why we saw a lot of parents frustrated, volleyball parents frustrated, basketball parents frustrated, coaches as well. this new guidance is definitely a step in the right direction, but indoor sports, there's still a long way to go there.
Yeah, it's I certainly understand the frustration because they see these state tournaments and even in surrounding states, Arizona's had basketball get going recently, and I get their want to play. It's just at this point that the state hasn't come up with whatever guidelines that may be, and whether that going down the road is something similar to football where they have to conduct daily or weekly testing. Maybe that's the case. I'm not sure if I know in other states they've required basketball players to wear masks. Maybe that would be the case. I'm just hopeful that soon we get something going and not just forget about the indoor sport kids, just because the majority of sports being outside and they're getting close to a return.
Definitely. You mentioned masks there. They talk about masks. They will not be required while competing, but while not competing, they should be worn. Highly recommends the new guidance highly recommends face masks to be worn as tolerated. So again, like that's been this whole time, you probably should have one on if you're not playing. And I forget, is California, I think California, there's still the statewide mask mandate when you're out in public. Some states, they don't have that, but I believe California does. So if you're not competing.
Yeah, I mean, just about every business you go to, I'm pretty sure at this point it's still a thing. So
the last question we got before we talk about the San Diego lawsuit, what are the recommendations on how to travel to games? And this is really important for public schools, I mean, and private schools too, but public schools who rely on those yellow buses to get them to and from games. So the guidance says bus/van travel for members of a team may pose a great risk. To mitigate COVID-19 transmission risk during bus/van travel, employ universal masking, physical distancing, and windows to remain open the full duration of the trip unless it's not feasible. So again, that opens the door. You could just say it's not feasible. We got to get this team on this bus. Will local districts and schools, will that be good enough for them? Because I know in LAUSD, money is always tight, and it's tough to get buses for, you know, one bus for a team, never mind if you got to physically distance and have a couple buses per team. So a lot of people are worried about this, and I think in the coming weeks we'll be talking about this a little bit more. It's nice that they add in that last line, unless it's not feasible, that kind of gives teams an out. You can put everyone on the bus and just say, it's not feasible for us to do three buses because it just doesn't work. But is that reason good enough for administrators? Will that be a reason to shut down sports? And I think this is more of an LAUSD issue, but bus travel, I think, is something that we'll be learning a little bit more about. What is the right way to do it? Is that an excuse for some administrators who don't want to have sports, to not have sports? Something to watch there, I think.
Yeah. My question with it is will the district instruct the bus driver that there's certain policies that maybe when the team's getting on, the coach may say, oh, it's not feasible, but the bus driver may say, well, the district said these are the rules and there's not one person per bench or whatever it may be. So certainly a lot to get worked out there. The only other thing that I think is interesting, and going back to the last time that all these San Diego reps were together for football at the end of the 2019 season, was the lack of referees. And that's, I think, a question that will come up whenever they're able to get started here, because even in normal times, there was getting to be a lack of referees here in San Diego, and a push from them to try and get more Thursday games, more Saturday games, so you can spread out crews to have multiple games over one weekend. So that's something that I certainly would be for, if there's still that issue. Are they going to spread games out so maybe there's three nights a week you could have games? Because for us, selfishly, that would be just more games you can get to, because football is always frustrating, because oftentimes there's a Saturday game, maybe a school that doesn't have lights you can get to. But if you have more Thursday games and Saturday night games, certainly more coverage for the teams. And it may be something down here that I think with referee concerns they may have to do.
Interesting. I haven't thought about officials in a while, but you're absolutely right. That is a great point. And to your point again, could be better for us if games have to be spread out because there are fewer officials. It could be fun to have a weekend slate, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Bodie, the last thing I want to hit on before we go our separate ways here, so that lawsuit in San Diego. So here, I'll read from our post. Just hours after California Governor Newsom announced a path for outdoor high-contact high school sports to return across the state. A San Diego County judge went a step further. San Diego Superior Court Judge Earl Moss granted a temporary restraining order Friday afternoon allowing youth athletes to participate in sports as long as they follow the same or similar COVID-19 protocols imposed for competition in professional and or collegiate sports within the county. You're based in San Diego. On paper, it sounds like youth sports are a go as long as you follow similar protocols to college and pro teams. But that's not really the easiest thing to do, right? And have you seen, I mean, this weekend, are people just up and playing? Has there been any clarification there? It was a bit of a confusing ruling in the sense that how exactly can youth sports follow the same or similar COVID-19 protocols imposed for competition in the pros and for college sports? Is weekly testing enough? What is similar? That was my question.
Because we see that rule and having the state grant their new guidelines, I have a hard time seeing that districts are going to go against whatever the state said. And with the new ruling, that's something that I don't think the state would pay for testing. So are districts going to pick that up on their own? I can't believe they do that. Are you going to have parents privately pay for it? Maybe you do that, but is the district really going to say, oh, well, we're going to go one step further than the state said, and since a judge ruled, we'll just go ahead and start playing? I don't believe that districts, certainly public schools, would go against and go one step further when the state has given a way to play, a path to play at this point. It may not be as much as a lot of parents, coaches, players were hoping, but it's certainly close. And so I see where the lawsuit helped some things, but it's so similarly attached to professional and collegiate sports where you still have to get that testing done, and it's not in a way that the state's going to pay for it. So I still lean towards the new state guidelines and that's what teams down here will play. Now, maybe it changes something for those playing club sports, maybe club soccer especially, of, okay, well, now we're free. We're like, we have been playing, but we're not going to be able to get shut down here because the state's ruled otherwise. I think this is something that definitely affects more club sports than high school sports because I don't see schools going against the new state guidelines.
Definitely, and correct me if I'm wrong, looking at that, my takeaway was, okay, maybe now we'll see Little League baseball. Maybe now we'll see youth soccer, stuff that isn't necessarily tied to school districts. It's tied more to local youth organizations. And, like, I don't know, is San Diego youth soccer, is that, like, tied to the government? Would they not want to go against the California Department of Public Health? I'm not sure about that. Maybe you can answer that. But how I saw that was, okay, you know, high school sports are one thing, but, like, for the younger kids, this is a go-ahead, and that's how I understood it, for youth soccer, like I said, for Little League baseball, maybe even for rec basketball, if enough families are okay with it. This ruling, because youth sports aren't necessarily tied to a school district and, you know, or a private school who wouldn't want to go against the recommendations from the California Department of Public Health, for me, I thought, okay, maybe that might not affect high school sports, but it could affect some of the younger kids. And again, that's me totally speculating. That's just what I thought looking at that. Have you heard anything in that regard to, and you mentioned it a little bit with club sports, but what about like town basketball or like town soccer? Is that something that would be allowed after this if enough parents and people want to go through with it because the restraining order was granted, or would they not want to go against the guidance similarly to a school district or a private school?
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with the point you brought up. I think it'll definitely affect the younger kids than high school and getting all their sports back and kind of worry-free of having to be shut down if someone from the state were to come by or whatever and say what they're doing is not allowed at this point. So as for high school, I think the path has been set for them to return, and I think that's what we'll see over the coming weeks, and especially come Tuesday when updated numbers are out. I don't think that a lot of high schools and districts are going to take the judge's ruling and run with that when on the same day the state gave them kind of good news in the same way and a proper way to go and operate.
Would a private school ever say, okay, let's at least have basketball practice now? We're not we don't have to adhere to any state organization. You know, we're not tied to a district. Do you think this could lead to a private school maybe having a basketball practice, not necessarily games, but just something more than outdoor conditioning? That's my final question for you.
No, I definitely could see practices. The only problem then is if you want to play games, or is it going to be against other schools that are in your similar situation? So maybe you get a small group of private schools to put together your own league and start playing, especially if like indoor sports aren't given guidelines here soon to return. But
then that would go against the California Department of Public Health, because if they were San Diego section, you know, so it gets, I guess though, if they're technically in summertime rules, you could maybe get away with like a summer league situation. Sure. I don't know about you. I'm so sick of all this
stuff. If they all change their name and just use the school's nickname and not the name of the school, then you could get around it some way. But that's a whole different path to go down.
Yeah. Well, Bodie, thank you so much for joining me. I don't know about you. I'm so tired of, you know, even though it was good news on Friday, just so sick of 14 per 100,000. You listen to the county, California Department of Public Health, listen to your school district. Today we tried our best, and I was so long-winded at some point, so my apologies if I ever really rambled, but we tried really hard to break it all down. It is confusing, but the big takeaway is that 14 per 100,000, if you can get to that point, there is light at the end of the tunnel, not necessarily for the indoor sports, but for just about everything else. So that is good news, but I'm excited to get back this podcast talking about stuff going on the field, you know, not let them play California. They did a great job, but not guidelines, not protocols. I want to talk about sports. So I'm glad that these days, you know, they're never really going to leave us. I don't think there's never going to be a snap of the finger where, okay, COVID's done, but we're trending in the right direction and we're finally going to get some kind of sports back. So that's really exciting for me. And, you know, I have the COVID fatigue. I think everyone has it. It's really, really tough talking about this. I'm so sick of talking about this. I want to cover a football game.
Yeah, no, there's a path forward. It's exciting. And just, I know it won't be the normal thing because we're not going to have playoffs. And usually we'd be in our getting started on our third season of sports by now. But if we can get them all going, it'll be a lot at the same time. And I'm excited for that. And certainly a lot of things we'll have the pleasure of covering here soon in the next couple months. So.
He's Bodie DeSilva working down in San Diego, Connor Morissette here in Los Angeles. Thank you so much for listening to the SB Live California podcast. We'll see you next time.